Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. I am excited today. We have a fantastic guest. We're going to talk volleyball for one of the first times this season. I have Danny Gaff, or some might call her Dr. Gaff, Coach Gaff, Mrs. Gaff, a woman of many titles. But for today, I'm just going to call her Danny. Danny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
No, thanks for sitting down with us. So how do you have this many titles first off the bat? So no one knows what to call you over at South Bend St. Joe here.
I live a lot of different lives within one day. So Dr. Gaff comes from, I have my doctorate in speech language pathology, and I own my own private practice. And then Mrs. Gaff is really how a lot of the kids at St. Joe, you know, met me. I'm my husband's wife and he's Coach Gaff. So I am Mrs. Gaff. And then this will be my third year as Coach Gaff. So I'm the boys volleyball coach over at South Bend St. Joe.
Awesome. Yeah. So those of you who follow us and listen, we had her husband on a little while ago, the head coach over at South Bend St. Joe. And that is in a really fascinating role that you are coaching volleyball, but you are not coaching girls volleyball. You are coaching boys volleyball. So depending upon where our listeners are sitting right now, this might be commonplace or this might be something where they've just done a pause and been like, wait, what? Because there's a lot of schools, especially even here in Indiana, that do not have a boys volleyball program. So you guys are relatively in your infancy with this program, right? So tell me a little bit about the program, how you got it started, and kind of how it drew you to be the one to start it.
Yeah, you know, I can't take any credit for starting it. I will give all that credit to two young men in their senior year. They decided that they wanted to start the boys volleyball program. I think the year prior, there was talk of getting it started, and then it just never got off the ground. And so as they were seniors, they looked at each other and kind of went, you know, they were athletes. They were athletes in different sports. And they said, we really want to get this started and we want to leave our mark on South Bend St. Joe. And so they pulled together and they turned it, they got it approved for a club sport. So it was a club sport and they weren't having any luck finding a coach. And then they just kind of, as I was talking to Eric, like my husband, I said, you know, man, I miss being involved in volleyball and I love being a coach's wife. And I don't know. I was like, maybe I'll coach at some point again. Maybe I'll do that. And then this kind of fell into my lap and the AD approached me and asked if I would coach. And I said, sure, but I can commit to like 2 days a week. And this is what I can do, which worked out because it was a club sport. And then I just kept having guys come in the gym who were really about that mission of like, we're going to really going to push this sport forward. And so we did well enough our club year that we got approved when IHSAA approved it for a varsity sport. Luckily St. Joe said, yes, we're on board and we're in. So then we're in our second year. This will be our second year as a varsity sport.
Wow, that's fantastic. So is it still 2 days a week or you're every day a week now?
Oh, no, we're every day. Oh,
yeah, I was going to say that's that's how it starts, right? I remember like 5 years ago, it's like, hey, we don't really have much going on at the youth level. Like you play ball growing up, right? Like, would you be willing to help? And it's like, well, I don't really have time. I don't really have the schedule. Fast forward 5 years and I take 4 months off from speaking and writing to coach basketball and podcast in my basement. So it, you're going to be 7 days a week before you know it.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. We were last year and it was a bit of an adjustment for the guys who were coming from the club team to the varsity team. We had quite a few returners. And so it was a bit of a change and, you know, a bit of like a culture battle. Like, no, this is a commitment that you made and you're all in. Yeah. So show them all in. It can't be, well, coach, I'm tired. Coach is tired too, man. But here we are. Like, we're here. So it's much better this year. I'm not fighting that battle. I mean, it's still, I feel like it's an ongoing battle, no matter if you're in your infancy or you're established. So,
yeah, I think it gives you some like cool credibility with the guys too, is that obviously, you know, the sport, you have a background playing it, you're the coach, but I mean, you have your doctorate, you put a private practice. So when they're like, I'm busy, I know we've had that discussion, like, Coach, I'm really busy. And I was like, oh yeah, us too. We own four businesses. I take 50 speaking engagements around the year. And I put all of it on the shelf to be right here, right now with you for 2 hours. So what you say, we practice a little harder.
Absolutely.
It's a compelling argument, you know. You just
It
tell them like,
is.
man, I got a million things I could be doing, and you know where I would rather be than here? Nowhere. Nowhere. So
Nowhere. Yeah,
let's
I'm here
lock
with
in.
you.
So year two, so what is that process about becoming a varsity sport? Because I imagine there's a lot of people listening here that aren't even aware of it. I know where I coach, like, we do not have a boys volleyball program. A lot of places do not. So how did you guys kind of take that next step from saying, okay, we've got some guys that want to do this, to, okay, we are now an IHSAA, we have, I assume you have sectional championships. You're playing a real schedule. So how did you kind of turn the page to that?
It was all support from St. Joe. So it was an ongoing conversation with the athletic director. And he, when it was floated that the IHSAA might approve this as a varsity sport the following year, we were having that conversation from the moment that was a possibility. Can we do this? I think a big piece of it was I had to have enough guys in the gym. They're not going to approve a varsity sport if I only have six players. So luckily, those guys that first year of club understood that we needed to build a program. And so they hit the ground running and they got their friends to come in. Luckily, their friends had played some volleyball. And so we kind of got this team that we looked pretty good. And we did, we were really raw talent-wise, but they grew and we progressed and we won some games our club year. And so I think, and then we were just constantly in conversation with the athletic director. And then it was, he had to pitch it then to the school, do we have the money for it? What does this look like? And I think a big piece of it was we said, we're going to get really good at having a varsity boys volleyball program. We're not going to be overly concerned about getting a JV program. Like, we're not, let's get really good at this, and what does this look like? And then let's talk about growing the sport outside of that, which we've started to talk about a little bit this year. But so I think that was a really big piece of it is like, hey, we're going to get really good. We're going to get a great varsity squad. And last year we made it to a sectional championship. It was awesome, being able to do that. And so I think that reassured St. Joe that we're doing something right. Like,
You
we're
got it under
getting,
control.
a little bit.
Oh, your
And so
husband raised the bar too. He's cutting down nets everywhere. It's like, come on,
I
man,
know,
slow
it's really
down.
expensive. Come on. But I think that it was just a constant conversation, and we were always, the idea was we were going to progress it no matter what. It was just a matter of the timeline. And luckily St. Joe said, yeah, we're in. And so then we jumped in and here we are.
So I think it's really fascinating, and I hope this question is in no way accidentally offensive. So I have like personal relationship with someone who won a gold medal playing volleyball. I have another colleague that won he was in beach. I have another colleague of mine that won a gold medal in court. So like, these are hyper masculine, big, athletic, unbelievable dudes, right? I mean, we're talking 6'7", 6'8", big, powerful, athletic men. However, when you're starting a sport from scratch, every school has a volleyball team for the girls. Very few have one for the boys. So was that an obstacle at any point in the very beginning for recruiting? And how do you shift that perception? And I officially, on the record, volleyball is an absolutely manly, masculine sport for the dudes. Like, if you put your hands in front of one of these spikes, and I think you'd weep. Like, these dudes are hitting a ball. Like, I don't know how the ball doesn't like break limbs. It's insane.
It's a great question, and it's something that I didn't think, I didn't really see as an obstacle until I started. Like, I am in the school Fridays, I don't work in my office. And I was in my husband's weightlifting class going, you come on, play volleyball, you play volleyball, you, and asking my husband, like, who should I be recruiting? Because he's in the building. That's one thing that's hard is I'm not in the building, I don't have eyes on guys as he does, right? So he's like, that's a good kid. That's a kid that you want. Try to get that kid. And so we're doing that. And that is, well, I don't want to play volleyball. And so I think one, it's encouraging the guys to just, hey, just watch. One, just watch men's volleyball. Two, just come try it. There have been a couple kids that were like, I'm not playing volleyball. And then they came and tried it, and they're on our team now. And they're
And
like,
they had a blast, and it's fast
yes,
paced. There's very little standing
yes.
around. It's athletic.
Yep.
It's competitive, right? Sure.
Yep. So come experience it. Come see it. Another thing that we did last year that I thought was, we're Bethel men's volleyball. I believe they're undefeated still. They just started their season, but they're undefeated, and they have a
Yeah, we
great,
had our AD on, Jason Lukowitzin. Like
yeah,
they're doing well at just about every sport. He's
crushing
doing an
it.
unbelievable job. Bethel's incredible.
Yes. Yes. And so those are, I mean, I was like looking around, you know, they're huge. Those guys are huge,
They
and they hit
are.
the ball really hard. And so we went and watched a Bethel practice we had earlier this year, or I'm sorry, it was November of last year. We hosted Notre Dame and Bethel men's volleyball at St. Joe for an exhibition match. We had a great attendance to go like, hey, this is men's volleyball. And I think just trying to get eyes on the sport. I also think it's helpful. My husband's 6'10". He's a big guy. I think it's helpful for him to go like, hey, play volleyball. Like, and so I have him in my recruiting corner when we're recruiting within the walls of the school, going like,
Be nice to have
hey,
him as an outside hitter,
I know, right?
but
I know, but it is trying to, and then as a female coach, how can I bring some masculine energy into the gym so that it doesn't feel like, you know, a boy's sport being played in a female way? Because I think that's really important. So it's an ongoing battle for sure, and trying to just get guys to just try it. Yeah.
So I think that there are a couple of things that are super fascinating here, and I definitely want to come back to just that dynamic of it's very, very commonplace to see a male coach in a female sport. And I'm not knocking that at all. I am a male coach. I coach girls. I would never want to go back to coaching boys. I love my girls. I also think it's wonderful there are a lot of female coaches in girls
Yes.
basketball. They should be seeing both, right? It shouldn't have to be, but it's extraordinarily rare on the flip side, right? To the point where, oh, there's a girl who coaches in the NBA. Like, you know it because there's a girl, right? I mean, it's like such a rarity that it's a news story. So what is that like the first couple days, like when you walk in and you're a female coaching men? Is it do they behave differently around you? And how are they responding?
I think initially they did. I think I had to adapt a little bit, but I'm around my husband all the time, and my husband and I are very, we're similar in a lot of ways. And so I did learn from how he interacts with his guys, you know, watching men interact with men, I think is really important. Watching, I had the Bethel coach come in last season and watched him interact with my guys. How does he interact with his guys? And obviously I'm a female, so I interact a little bit differently, but I think it was initially they treated me a little differently because I was Coach Gaff's wife. And then once I kind of got them out of that I am in here in a different capacity, that was helpful. And I don't battle that by any means anymore. But I think I had to adapt as a coach. I had to be a little more playful, a little more aggressive, a little more sarcastic. There were certain things, but that's my personality that I just naturally have. Like you can't see my office right now, but my office is laid out. I have a big crash pad. I have a swing. Like I'm very physical with the kids that are in my room. We're jumping, we're running, we're playing. And the way that I play with the young kids in here is very similar to the way I run my practices. We're constantly moving. We're very up. We're going. I had to change the way that conflict resolution was done. That was something that I had to adapt because,
So how so?
well, I had two boys. Now they were good friends, but I had two boys in the middle of a drill were like very confrontational with each other. And I was like, whoa, don't love that. And I had to turn to my assistant coach, who's a male, and I said, is this okay? Like, are they okay? And he said, they're good. Let them figure it out. And 2 minutes later, they were like high-fiving and moved. They had moved on. And I was like, what? What
I've
is
had to
happening?
explain it to my girls before. They were like, they got so upset because someone said something to them or someone said something rude on the court. And I'm thinking, like, I don't think that I've like ever like hit anyone in anger, but I'm sure I've been in dozens of fights with good
Yes.
friends, sometimes like at a park, you
Yeah.
know, just
Yeah.
play. And like 10 minutes later, we're good, man.
They were
Like
good.
it's okay. But that is really fascinating. And I think I hope the question didn't have any negative connotation, because I actually look at it more on the flip side, where I think there's a ton of advantages, where I think there is, if you have the right guys, there is like an inherent respect level that a well-raised young man is going to extend to a female. And then once they meet you, they see your competence, your confidence, your passion, and your energy. There's a good chance that they're going to have a little different relationship dynamic with you, where there might be more openness, a more willingness to talk, more of a vulnerability that is sometimes tough man to man. So I think there should be more women in men's sports. You see it with like Becky Hammon and with the Pacers. Like, they're having a ton of success, and the players would run through a wall for those women. So
I've never felt a lack of respect. I feel like I have
I'm sure not.
a good dynamic with those guys.
Yeah.
There has been, like you said, kind of an automatic, like I said something and they listen, and and they take it and they go, okay, coach said this. And it's very, I don't feel like every so often I'll get challenged where they'll go and we'll go toe to toe on something and we'll kind of go back and forth. But I think I don't shy away from that confrontation. So I think that helps them a little bit. But then they are so respectful. I do think that there's an openness, and I've never seen it as a negative for our program by any means. It's always been a good dynamic. It's been very fun for me. I
Yeah.
really enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
I think that's like an interesting, it'd be a very interesting study over the next 10 to 15 years. Like, so a lot of my like 20s and 30s I spent in like consulting, doing speaking engagements, working with companies all over the planet. And I would joke with clients when I would ask about the audience makeup. Every once in a while, I would go in a place, and the only time I had sessions where I was like, ooh, our behavior is not quite where it should be in a corporate environment, was when there was not a single female. And it was usually more of a blue collar, like a factory place. And I was like, whoa, don't think you can say that at work. And I was like, they're like, what's the difference? I'm like, we just need a couple respected women in the room. And the behavior immediately shifts. So anyway, I find it very fascinating, in any sport, but especially as you are building from the ground up. I mean, just what a huge leadership role. So a couple things. I am really curious as you build your roster, but let me back up a little bit. For all the folks out there that are saying, you know what, I love volleyball, why doesn't our school have a boys volleyball program? I think there's a lot of transferable athletic skills when you start recruiting and building, where you may not have, like a normal sport, a kid who's been playing since they're five, six. Every little boy, for the most part, plays t-ball, plays peewee basketball, and then either football or soccer based on their build and their family, right? Very few 6-year-olds have played organized volleyball. So what are some of the skills and traits you're looking for? And are there any sports you've noticed that do have a little bit more of a transferable skill set?
Tennis is very transferable. I
Really?
had,
Okay, that wouldn't have been my first guess. Okay.
yes, tennis, the footwork is very easy to
Interesting.
shape and mold. I think their vision and the way they track the ball is very similar, because you have to think, when you have a tennis racket, your arm
Yeah.
is extended for the most part, and that's what our platform is, right? Our platform's extended from our body. So I found that my tennis players, I had three tennis players last year. One is returning this year, and he made a big state run. And it their
Wow.
footwork is very similar, so we're introducing the split step when we're doing passing. And I noticed that my tennis players got that really quickly, because that's something that they do in tennis. I think their court vision is very similar, and they track the ball really well. And again, they know how to go off center with their platform, stuff like that. I think that tennis was way, like I said, very transferable.
Did you know that beforehand? Was that like your first instinct, or were you like, huh?
I
Because I
got
mean, I
them
think of
in
tennis as like, I mean,
the
yes, you see men tennis players that are big, but in men's tennis, big might be 6'2", 6'3", right? Like point guard is big tennis player. So, volleyball, you usually think like big, tall, leaping. So that's interesting. Okay, cool.
I had no idea when they came in. I was like, oh, you guys are good. And like watching their footwork when we're doing serve receive passing was really where I went, oh, this transfers really well. And I had no, again, no idea. It's just watching them adapt and adapt to the cues and all of that that I've given them. It's been really great to see how we can just shape just a couple tweaks here and there, and you're going to get, a great result serve receive wise.
Interesting.
In terms of other sports, I have a couple track kids or cross country kids. I'm not much to you know, I mean, I would like to have some of the basketball players in the gym, but my husband says I can't recruit his players.
I
So.
know, do I need to edit this out? He's also coaching at a slightly different level. I mean, he has kids that are like Googleable, right? Where not
Yes,
every high school
for sure.
coach, has
For
like,
sure.
By name the college coaches that are calling to talk to your
Yes.
husband about his kids. So
Yes.
that's a little different. I
Yes.
get it. But for your average high school basketball player, I'd assume your average
I
like
think so
5'2"
too.
wing who can get up and grab the rim or even dunk a ball, like that's not a bad
That would be
start.
good.
Like I find with like our girls, a lot of our volleyball girls are excellent softball players. They tend to be very good servers. They've got that whip action. And then, I was at a volleyball tournament all week and I'm rooting for my girls, but I'm like, please don't get hurt because four of my five starters also start on our volleyball team. And I see them diving and I was like, we got a game tomorrow. Can you please
I
stop? So,
know.
I find that's obviously, like long, lean, springy, quick. Those tend to be pretty adaptable skills too. But I think almost every one of our volleyball girls play softball or basketball as well. So.
And I mean, I've set out to, I just want athletes in the gym.
Yeah.
And I want coachable athletes in the gym. And that has been, and I think that has been a lot of, you know, success. Like I had a couple kids, three or four players last year that didn't make other sports teams, but came in, made our team and made an impact and were really good at our sport. And so I think
Yeah.
that's, you know, kind of my, where I'm picking from right now, if you will. I just,
Yeah. And for context, making the team at South Bend St. Joe is a whole lot different than making the team at a lot of
exactly.
schools. I mean, you're
Yes,
talking,
absolutely.
from a basketball standpoint, like if you're not borderline college level, you probably aren't getting a jersey or at least getting a lot of
Absolutely.
minutes. So yeah, you're
Yes.
getting some good athletes who just, hey, it's
I
South Bend
am.
St. Joe, man.
Yeah, I am. And
Yeah.
the thing is like, and something that's been helpful is I have two players who didn't make the basketball team. You know, like you said, it's hard to do at St. Joe.
Yeah.
But they bring in a level of communication that is lacking for guys who haven't played a sport yet or play a sport like tennis, where maybe the communication's a little bit different and there's not six guys on the floor. It's either them or them and another guy.
Maybe a
And so
doubles partner,
that's,
sure. Yeah.
yeah. So I also look at those little things like, well, like one kid is, you know, from the basketball program and he goes and runs over and picks guys up when they dive. And he picks guys up after the ball's dead, of course. He doesn't do it mid-rally, but runs over and picks guys up. And that's not like Eric, my husband asked, he was like, you guys don't do that in volleyball. And I was like, we really don't. Like, I don't see that a ton. And so he runs, sprints over and gets a guy up off the ground. That is such a big culture thing that I
That's
didn't even
my guy
think
right
about.
there, man. That is our
It's
number
awesome.
one team motto is we lift each other up both literally and figuratively. And man, I will not get mad at my kids for much, but if they ever fail on that one, and it's so cool, I'll go back and watch game film. And if a kid hits the floor, I've got four girls sprinting
I love
over. And
it.
I mean, it's that that is culture. And that is a really cool thing to bring to that sport, right? I mean, just all the studies that are coming out on physical contact, touch, and how it improves performance. So if you've got athletes that get that, I mean, it's going to translate to the volleyball court too.
In a way that I didn't facilitate. So I have
That's
them.
awesome.
You know, when I'm coaching, you'll see me put my hands in a circle together because after every point, we're gonna get together in the middle and we're gonna make physical contact, right? Arms around each other. Hey, we got this. Come on, and we're gonna disperse. And so you'll always see me doing that on the sidelines. I try to do it after every point as a reminder, right? But I didn't facilitate that kid running and going and picking up another kid. And you know,
That's
player
awesome.
led teams win championships. So that kid led
Amen.
that, and he led by example, not because coach told him to go do that. And I think that's
You have an influence, though, but I appreciate the modesty, but you have an influence on that. I
oh,
think
I
that's
do.
one of the biggest things that we get to do as coaches. Like the X and
Yes.
O's sometimes is a little overrated.
No.
The culture is always underrated, always underrated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say I'm more neurotic about culture than I am. I mean, I'm neurotic about some skill things for
You're on the
sure, but
right show, my friend.
yes, but really right now we're big on culture. Big on culture.
Yeah. Amen. So obviously you're doing things fantastically well from a culture perspective because you take a sport that didn't even exist at your school. You are fighting some perhaps inherent perception battles that it's not for guys just because it hasn't been there before. But you've got enough people coming out for your team. So we're recording this early February. Typically, we have like a 2 or 3 week lag before we get them into post-production and kind of through the queue of all the interviews. So this should come out before your season starts March 9th, you said?
Yes,
March
right after
9th.
my.
So we're almost exactly a month away. You've got to the point now where you're going to have more young men walk into the gym than you can keep onto your team. So that is both a coach's dream and nightmare. We want enough numbers that our program is thriving. Brutal to have to make some of those decisions. So volleyball, I think most people are acquainted with it. You got six people on a court. Tell me if I'm right or wrong here. My perception is it's hard to play, even if you're playing with a libero, it's hard to play much more than nine regularly, maybe 10 in a game. Like, how many would you play typically in a game? How many are getting in a
That
normal
depends.
competitive game? You know, assuming that we're tense, it's not a blowout, we're not, you know.
Yeah, I would say I've got 9 or 10 that I'm consistently playing. If we run a 6-2, that changes a little bit, but for the most part, 9 or 10 that I'm consistently playing. Now you might have a serving specialist that comes in and serves and then subs out. So that changes a little bit. It varies, but yeah, 9 or 10, I would say pretty consistently.
Right. So now, as you build this roster, right, you want enough to be able to practice and scrimmage, but not so many that people are sitting still. But with that, there are going to be people likely on your roster that the odds of them participating on a regular basis in competitive games is very, very low. Man, I know this is kind of a loaded question, but like, how do you go about building that roster? Because I think this transfers to every sport, anyone at home who's coached, anyone who's a parent of a kid. Like, how do you manage that and make sure that expectations of the players are aligned and that it doesn't have a negative impact on culture?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And at tryouts, I call them over. So we go through the tryout process. They go and do their serving. I'll have them play king of the court, something to that manner, and I'll call them over. And when they get called over, I say, this is the role that I see you in. This is, I'm not saying like you are a guaranteed starter, but I'm going like,
Sure.
this is, I see you in this role, I see you in this position. We're probably going to do this. And there were, some conversations that were had last year where it was, hey, I don't see you in a starting role right now. This is where I see you, but you are so good for us in from a culture standpoint on like the bench, and because you bring so much energy, and we're going to work you in on certain games, but like you are an energy giver, and we need that so much. And so there are clearly defined roles, and I think that's something that is really important. I think it does evolve, so it's a very static thing, or it's not a static thing, it's very dynamic throughout the season. Like I had a kid that I was training to be a setter last year, and he ended up being my starting libero because he was so scrappy, and he
Yeah.
brought so much energy that I was like, I don't need you as a backup setter.
We need you on the court.
I need you on the court in some, and maybe not the best platform skills necessarily, but more aggressive than anybody else in the gym. And so that right there, great. So his role shifted. And so we had to have that conversation. Now this is what I need from you. And so it's a dynamic process, but I think it is clearly defining the roles. And even as that shifts, and I think trying to have that open door, I think having assistant coaches helps with that, to have some conversations that maybe they don't want to have with a head coach. But that door is open. If you have questions about your role on the team, come see me. I had a kid walk out the other day, and he goes, "Coach, what do I need to be doing? I love that question so much. I need you to do this, this, and this." And by golly, what did that kid come in and do the next week at practice? He really focused in on those things. And I was like, that's what happens. 'Cause right now you're third man deep for kids who are good at ball controlling, serve, receive. You're probably not going to get that role, but you're really good at serving right now. And I need you to work on your platform skills. And he was so intentional with that during practice, and that's what I love to see. But he was given clear direction. This is what your role is. And I think so clearly defining roles. I mean, the Louisville head coach, Dan Meske, he does that. He talked about it on a podcast where he was like, we sit them down and we say, this is where you're at. And this is, they do it as a whole team. I don't know that I've got that in me yet, but they do it as the whole team so that
Yeah,
there are
those are
no questions
tough.
about it. Yeah. So
Those
there's no
kids are
questions
also a little
about
older,
it.
right? So that's probably a good
Yes.
disclaimer because these are collegiate
Yes.
athletes who are,
Top tier collegiate
and
athlete.
then you are in high school. A lot of our folks are coaching youth. So very
Yes.
different dynamics. But I mean,
Right.
I think the recurrent theme that is indisputable is open, transparent communication. And you've obviously fostered a relationship and trust where sometimes the feedback isn't what they want to hear. That's a tough conversation, especially with younger athletes, of I may not tell you everything you want to hear all the time, but I'm going to tell you the truth and I'm going to do everything in my power to help you get to where you want to go because I love you. And whether you are playing every second of this game or whether you don't appear, that does not change the value I put on you as a human being. That is very, very difficult to for a young athlete to land, especially depending upon what they're getting when they go home.
Yeah,
Sometimes
absolutely
they're getting far different feedback and maybe from a less knowledgeable perspective than yours.
Yeah. Well, and
So.
you hit the nail on the head. It's that connection, right? That connection is everything. And it looks different with different guys. Like I have a different connection with my two returners who came back or who have been with me all 3 years. We have a much different dynamic, only because there's a familiarity on both of our parts. And so I think that, but that connection across the board, we always make physical contact, so we always have to fist bump. They have to fist bump every single player before they leave, and then they do not leave the gym without fist bumping me. And they, because it's an opportunity to go, hey, Johnny, you did look. I thought you did so well with this. I really need you to hone in on this. And they go, yeah, okay, got it. And it's 10 seconds of them understanding. I saw them amidst the 15 kids in the gym. I saw them working hard on this. That physical contact, I think that fist bump is important. As they're on their way out, and that those little things I think build connections so that you can have those honest conversations. Because I think it's a two-way street. I can't just say like, okay, doors open, and then I'm not giving them, that I've not established that connection with them. So I think we are connection-based for sure.
Yeah, the relationship opens the door. So I one of my favorite interviews I ever read, and one of these days we're gonna get big enough. We're gonna get Stephanie White on the show. She's the head coach at the Fever. I don't know if you're familiar. So it was just a really cool interview I read, and I ended up writing columns about it. And it's changed the way I look at sports. Where she said, "Look, as a head coach, we spend so much time focusing on what our players can't do. We're always looking at what they're doing wrong, what they need to improve, what they're not doing well." She goes, "When I was a broadcaster, we focus a lot on what players can do and what they're doing well." And she said, "And as I morphed my coaching style to, and this is obviously paraphrased, but to coach more like a broadcaster than a coach." And I have found that has really changed the relationship I have with my kids, is that I am constantly looking for things they're doing right. And because of that, when they make some mistakes, we can even laugh about it. Like, we've had some mistakes where girls were crying in a game because they were so embarrassed. A week later, it's like a funny team joke. And like, we can, because we have that relationship. But if I was just showing them game film of mistakes and errors, if I was coaching them and not a broadcaster too, I don't know that we would have the liberty or license to be critical in a productive fashion. So, I mean, it's clear you have that rapport with your athletes, and that makes them a lot more receptive to it.
And trying to gauge, am I giving too much negative feedback? Because, and not even negative feedback, because it's not always negative. It's, hey, can you tilt your
Well, it's
platform?
constructive, but I mean, yeah,
Yes,
the kid will hear it that way. If it's 14
constant.
times of constructive, like, God, I just can't do anything right. I suck. I should
Yes.
quit. I'm no good at this sport. My coach hates me. But no,
Yeah.
you're exactly right.
Yeah, and one of our core values is present. So I want you, just in the same way, I walk through the doors and whatever's going on outside, how you talk about, I'm busy too. I'm running, we're running stuff. We're busy, but man, we got to shed that the moment we walk in the door. It doesn't mean that we're not carrying these things, right? These things, we don't just go like, okay, I'm here and everything's gone, but we are present no matter what we're carrying, where our feet are. And I think that's important as well. Or else if they're in their brains go, if they're in and they're just spiraling and go, man, coach, oh, she's just been telling me everything that I'm doing wrong. That kid's not present the next time I give them
Wears
that,
on them.
hey, nice job. They're not listening. They're dwelling on the 10 things that I told them they were doing wrong.
And they
And
start playing scared too, right? Every time they make a mistake, that's a big warning sign. If they make a mistake and they're looking and they immediately look over, that is a recalibration point, at least for me, of like, okay, we need this. This kid requires more positive fuel in order to get what I want out of them, right? So.
And I do see my younger athletes tend to do something and then look because they want feedback, and I don't think they've been in that environment just yet. And so I've tried one. I have to just shush sometimes and just go like, they've got to figure it out. And then
Sorry.
two, It's so hard. And then the second thing is trying to ask more questions. What happened? What did you feel? How did you feel the ball went off your hand, right? Because then we're getting them more involved in that process versus just, I don't need a bunch of Dannys on the court. I need the best of you guys. And so you might have felt it a little differently. I saw it this way, but you need to tell me, how did that feel coming off of your hand? Stuff like that. And then the third thing is, I tell them, guys, if I have something to say, I will not be shy about it. Don't look to me after a play. If there's something that I want you to do, I will tell you. If you don't hear my voice, you don't gotta look at me. Keep moving on. And that's gotten better. Trust me enough that I will say something if I really want to, but you don't have to look at me.
If it's a bad mistake, they know it. Those are even ones I mean, sometimes I think as they've gotten older and our relationship has gotten deeper, a lot of times the feedback is even like, "Hey, what do you think I'm gonna tell you?" And then they'll
Yeah.
tell me exactly what I was gonna tell them, and I was like, "Ask that at a girl," like fist bump. I'm like, "Let's go,
Yeah,
let's
you
go." I
got it.
was like, "Hey, it's all good. Next play, you
Yeah.
know,
And
right?"
sometimes
I
you
mean,
just
like,
put your hands.
yeah,
I don't know.
they know. I mean, I think that is like a big part of. And I'm developing that relationship. So what I guess as we kind of wind down here. So as your roster gets bigger, right? Obviously you're gonna have to make a few cuts. I don't think we need to spend a ton of time there. Everyone knows it's brutal. You want to handle it as gently as you can. But what is the conversation you're having before you make those final cuts with that kid who might be 11th, 12th, maybe even 13th on your roster, where you see some value in keeping them? You think they'll help in practice? Maybe they're even younger. You see an upside to them, but they are not going to play barring something changing. That's obviously a conversation that has to be clear before you hand them a jersey, or we've got a real culture problem. So, what does that conversation sound like for you? Everyone handles it differently. I'm just curious your take.
And it's hard because we had to actually sit down and have what we called a position meeting. And the position meeting was explaining the volleyball positions to some of these guys because they don't know what position,
Right.
don't know the positions. And
Swinging
so,
arms and
yes, And so that was a first big thing. I've got six kids who are interested in libero and defensive specialist. Because they're small and that's fine, but you have to have, here are the qualities. And so with each, they each got a form and each form had, these are the qualities that I'm looking for in each of these positions. And across the board, you have coachability, aggressiveness, communication, stuff like that. But then you've got, for a middle, I can't have a 5 foot middle. It won't work.
No.
And so, I've got to have this in a middle. I have to have this in a setter. And so right there, we've already kind of set a general expectation of what I'm looking for in each position. And then from there, it's going, hey man, and just really communicating what I need from them and honing in instead of going, I need 10 different things from you, going, hey, I need you to get really good at this, and I really need you to dial in. This drill is specifically going to help you in that area that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Your footwork really needs some help, so this drill is going to target that. And let's go and really trying to communicate what I need from them, where I need them to get better. I have opened the door. Like if you have questions leading into tryouts, because I also do want to see that initiative. I want to see, is the kid going to come up to me and say, "Hey, coach, I'm kind of frustrated by this, or what can I get better at?" And I love that initiative. Coach, how can I get better? What do you need me to work on? And I think that shows a team first attitude. But the conversations we have not had just yet, but we are starting to have now. This month we'll be really having those conversations of this is, I need your leadership. I need this from you. And I'm starting to have kind of that team first conversation. And then I think, like I said, it's
Even
exactly.
can you accept this role? Like, this is the
Yes.
role. Can you accept this role? Because I want you to, but it's up to you, right? That's a
Yeah.
tough,
Yeah.
that's
It is.
every kid receives that message differently, depending upon
Yeah.
how they see themselves and how into
Yep.
the sport they are. And so,
Yeah, and these are freshmen. So, I mean, I have quite a few freshmen in the gym. So they're probably going to want to go home and talk that over with their parents. And I don't want to put them on the spot on March 9th and go, hey, this is your role. Like
right.
that, if something 3 weeks is not going to be the massive difference maker, right? We're going to get better over these next 3 weeks, but that's
You
not
have a
going to,
good idea where they are at this point,
you've
right? And I
got a
think
good
of the
idea.
freshmen, it might even be a little easier because there is that obvious upside of like, we want you in the gym every day. We want you practicing. Your time will come. I imagine that's a tougher conversation with the junior who's playing behind two sophomores, or that's when like those are the ones that always make me nervous.
Yes, absolutely. And I've got a couple kids that I know that they might have a different role, but that in the way that they've led in the gym, going like, gosh, I know that you're going to step into this role and you're really going to rock it. And so I think that's also a piece of that culture. We've kind of established that we're a team first team. You know, it's all about the team. And again, you have those individual battles. But I think we have guys who are team driven, and you'll have those individual battles as we go through season and, you know, all of that. That's how it goes. And with that, like, we had a kid who didn't come back this year because he said, Coach Kev, I don't think I'm going to play next year. I don't think you're going to start me next year. And I would rather focus on this stuff. Great.
Respect that. It's, I mean, yeah. I mean, great
So good,
perspective,
right?
right?
And
Yeah.
that was a conversation that we had before season. He said, I'm going to play. Great. And then decided his senior year, it wasn't for him. I love that he made that decision for himself. I think that was great. I think that was a result of we had a good connection. You know, we had a good
Yeah.
relationship, trust, and he understood his role and
It's very
understood it was
mature.
so good, right? So I think that we'll start having those conversations with some of our guys this month, and it'll be. We'll see how it goes.
I got a feeling you've got it under control and have a very good, I mean, I think just one of the most underrated parts of this, I mean, I think like when people like look for coaches, it's always like, well, this guy played a sport like 22 years ago, so boom, check the box. And I'm like, I think we're looking for the wrong things sometimes. Where obviously, you know, we talk about how trust is developed. There's some really cool books on it, like Dr. Henry Cloud writes about like the speed of trust, right? And competence is one of those pillars, right? I mean, you can be incredibly communicative. If you don't understand the sport, you are not going to have credibility. But as long as you have a basic rudimentary or a solid understanding of the sport, how to develop, how to train, I think the fact that you played it at some point very briefly in your career is part of it, but maybe a teeny bit overrated. It's the communication, it's the ability to connect, it's the psychology of it all, where we really are psychologists as much as we're coaches. It's so much of the job, man.
For sure. And one of my assistants, I have one who's going to be really great at player development, and I'm excited to have him in the gym. And but the other one is a player that graduated for me last year. And when he graduated, I went, I gotta have that kid back in the gym because
That's awesome.
he's so good at the little culture things that matter so much. And I have three male assistant coaches, all from different walks of life, which I think is awesome. But my assistant coach who just graduated, I go, man, he's going to bring energy that I just don't bring. He has just this special energy about him. And you go,
Awesome.
that is going to matter so, 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 so much. And it's those little things. And he played 2 years for me, and he's not, but he's a student of the sport. He's committed to going, yes, I'm going to watch film. I love the sport. I love it. And he loves volleyball so much. And being able to have that in the gym is so important. And I think it shows what we want, right? He's a great example of what we're looking for. I want you to love being in the gym, because I love being in the gym.
Exactly.
I love being here. We love this sport, and joy is another one of our core values. And I think that he embodies that so well. He embodies that joy that he's just excited to be involved in volleyball still. And so I think that's going to be really good. And that speaks to what you're talking about. He played 2 years. It's not like he, has been playing for 20, well, he's not even 20, so not 20 years. He's not been playing for 10 years.
It's amazing.
He's
Yeah.
new. He's
That's
new in the
awesome.
sport, but he's got this hunger. So I definitely agree with everything you're saying.
So let me give you two good, maybe tough ones as we wrap it up here. I always run long. This is the first time we've ever talked boys volleyball on here, so I knew I was going to run long. Plus, I just think you have just a I know your doctor is in a different field, but just have that almost like a clinical or a psychology type analysis of what we're doing here, which is that's my
There's
wheelhouse.
a
That's what I love.
lot
That's
of
what I love to talk about, man.
carryover
Yeah,
between the two that I didn't realize in
it
terms
is.
of neurology, like the way that we learn. Anyways, that could be a
No, it
whole
is.
episode.
I feel like some of the stuff like from a, I feel like the playing basketball has been less of a help to me coaching as teaching culture, writing about leadership development, studying it and doing that for 15, 20 years is much more beneficial. Yeah, I can teach kids how to dribble and shoot and run offenses and the X's and O's stuff. It's the other stuff that helps so much more. So you mentioned joy and your core values. So what do you love most about this? Because this is obviously not the path you envisioned 10 years ago. You weren't like, I bet I'm going to start a boys volleyball team at a high school in Indiana.
But
Right?
what
So,
do I love
what do you
most
love most?
about coaching the boys, or
Yeah,
just,
just coaching in general, or what do
oh
you
man,
love?
it's so much fun. It's so much fun. I feel like coaching a new program, we have what I'd like to call newbie gains. So you know, when somebody first goes to the gym for the first time and they start lifting, their lifts go up, their max goes up, like it just shoots up. And then when you've been lifting for 20 years, it kind of plateaus and you're like, I'm not making any gains. And so they call it the newbie gains, right? And so I think that is so much fun, watching kids experience where, you know, you tweak this one little thing and then it all connects and they go like, whoa, like these are guys who have never really done that before. Maybe they've never felt what it feels like to block a ball. So I think it's really neat to
That's
have
awesome.
those newbie gains. And gosh, I love being around the guys. I mean, it's so much fun. The music's loud, we're loud. I mean, it is so much fun. And I love everything about it. I
It
like
become
competing.
it becomes family.
They are. It's family,
Yeah.
man.
I had somebody
It's
the other day like talk about like a coach couldn't be at something because they had like a very minor secondary family obligation, and I was like, well, coaching is my family obligation.
Yeah,
Like,
like,
that's my
yeah.
family. Like, these kids, I would ride or die for these kids.
Yes, it's so fun. I mean, it's so fun. And the energy they bring is something that I think I need. I love it. I love, love, love it.
So, last one. So, let's fast forward. We're 5 years from today. In your dream world, what are we saying about South Bend St. Joe's boys volleyball and your volleyball arc here? What are we saying 5 years from today? Because it's such in its infancy right now. It's just starting.
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, everything that we do, we talk about, we want to be the volleyball program in the area. And so I stand by that. I stand by that we want, you know, we want banners up on the wall. We want a sectional championship and we really want to further the sport. So I think 5 years from now, we've got a legitimate, not that we're not a legitimate program, but a legitimate three-team program with freshman, JV, and varsity, and that people are coming to St. Joe because of the volleyball program. And so I think that's, and it's a big goal. And every year I go, is that still the goal? And you know, it's hard when you've got big schools in the area, but I think
Oh,
really
yeah.
trying to kind of take that on. And I've been very fortunate that the guys understand that we're doing so much more than just trying to win games. We're trying to make something that really lasts. And I think I'm very fortunate that the guys have bought into that mission as well, that it's not just about what happens this season. It's what are we laying for the future team. So I hope there's great culture, and they're a really competitive program, and that we have done something that other teams in the area haven't done.
I love it. Well, Danny, I have absolutely no doubts that South Bend St. Joe is going to become a premier destination for boys volleyball. I feel bad for Eric. I think your program's going to start stealing some of his headlines. We'll see. Hopefully, you can handle that.
Yeah,
I know he's going to listen to this, so that's just a little dig to get. Hopefully, he
that's
gets a chuckle.
fine.
No, in all seriousness, thank you so much for sitting down. Your wisdom, your insight, your passion for what you're doing. I think you're going to inspire a ton of people. I know on our end, we're going to be praying for you this season and all the guys over at South Bend St. Joe. And I just have no doubts there is incredible, incredible success on and off the court, maybe more importantly, coming right down the road for you guys. So thank you so much for being with us. And man, I can't wait to see where this goes the next couple of years.
Gonna be blessed. Thank you for having me.
Yep, have a great season. Thanks, coach.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit PlanFaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just the voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.